Psalm, the first chapter, which I always say chapter, first Psalm. Psalm 1. We're just going to read it all. Verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in the law that doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so this evening, we're going to look at just a little bit this evening about Jesus Christ being our judge. And so verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Realize that lost and saved are not going to stand in judgment at the same time. There is a judgment for the lost, and there's a judgment for the saved. And we're gonna look at that. And realize, again, verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want anybody he doesn't want to send anybody to hell. Realize when I say send people to hell, is you on your own. If you end up in hell, it's on you. If a person ends up in hell, it's on them. But realize that God, he's not going to force your hand. He will send you to hell. And so if that's the bed you want to make, he will let you do it. He's not going to force you to salvation. And so he's given everybody many opportunities. Some people might have more than others. But again, God, the Bible tells us in Acts, there's no respecters of person with God. And so you don't know how many you're going to have. You don't know how many somebody else is going to have. But realize we're all going to stand in this judgment. Jump over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. We're going to do a little bit of reading here, so bear with me. Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all of the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him. All the earth, realize that the people have lost the fear of God. We need to fear him. Fear needs to be for him. Again, that fear is that reverence. Verse 9, O worship the Lord and the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him and all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful. And all that is therein, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Realize when Jesus, you and I aren't to judge, but Jesus is our judge, and he's going to judge righteously. He's going to judge fairly. And how does he do it? He says he's going to do it with his truth. First John 1 in verse 1. Tells us that word is God. And again, there's only one truth out there. And he's going to judge using his word. Jump over to John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter. And we're going to pick up here in verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So Jesus, that's the Son, is Jesus. Jesus is our judge. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus Christ is the only one that can pass a person from hell to heaven. From not having a life to having that life. And jump over to verse, we'll keep continue reading here in verse 27. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is cometh, and now is when the dead shall hear in the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. And so, again, Jesus has this authority to judge. He is our judge. We will stand in judgment one day before him. Jump over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, and Brother Trevor, could you get a glass of water? I meant to get one before I came up here. Getting a little dry. Ecclesiastes. Somebody move Ecclesiastes. You go through the book Ecclesiastes, you're going to see here that everything is all vanity. Everything in this life has to offer, it's all vanity. And we're all going to stand before God one day. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. One day we're all going to die. We're all going to go back to, our bodies are going to go back to the dust of the ground, and our spirit is going to go back to God. And there's going to be people that are going to go back, they're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord, and there's going to be those that wake up, and they're going to be in torments. And they're going to be in hell and we see an account, and it's a true account in Luke, the 16th chapter. We have two individuals. We have the rich man, and we have Lazarus. Right. Lazarus was a beggar. And the Bible says that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels. Right. He had a personal relationship with Christ. That means at one point in his life, he saw who he was, and he asked Christ to forgive him, and he repented of his sins, and Christ saved him. Right. And you have the rich man who did not do that. And the rich man, he fared sumptuously every day, the Bible says. He worried about this world. He worried about the clothes he had. He worried about all the riches this world has to offer. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And you can't, once that happens, you can't go back. And so we have warnings. We have the word of God. We're going to get judged out of these same words that we're reading tonight. We're going to get judged out of those things. And so pick up in verse 7 or verse 8, vanities. Of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are the goads and the nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is the weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're all going to stand before him, and everything is going to come out. And all the good's going to come out, and also all the bad. And the Bible also tells us every idle word. And so again, it's not just every idle word that we say. It's going to be those things that we think. And those things that we type. And again, everything's going to come out on Judgment Day. Right. Jump over to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. This verse gets read and quoted. And I've already quoted it. Hebrews 9, verse 27, is appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen. We're all going to die one day. I'm going to die. You too are going to die. And when that happens, there's going to be judgment. Judgment. Again, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Again, so Christ, he made a way out to escape this death. Again, you will physically die, but you don't have to spiritually die. Because he made a way so you don't have to. Jump over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at the saved judgment real quick, and then we're going to look at the lost. But again, they're not going to stand in judgment at the same time. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and every one that may receive the things done in his body, according as he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Again, we're all going to stand before him. That you and I that are saved, we're going to stand before him. When will this take place? We're going to see. When will this judgment take place for us that are saved? 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Realize this judgment could be tonight. We're going to read this passage. And then we look at the signs of the coming of Christ. When the rapture happens, you look at the signs of his coming. You look at that's the way the world is today, the course of the world. And you don't tell me that the Lord's not going to come back soon. He's coming. He's going to come very soon. And we're going to see when he comes, you and I are going to get judged. Amen. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And so when is this judgment seat going to take place for those that are saved? Is at his appearing. When he comes in the clouds of the air. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's the world we're living in today. They want to hear anything, but they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. They just want to just feel good. You know, and I have some extended family members, you know, that just ask, well, why, when you preach, or anybody that's, you know, they come to a Baptist church or Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, and people raise their voice. Why do you do that? Wouldn't it be easier if you just talked? That's not the method that God uses for preaching. Amen. And the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Why? To show the house of Jacob their sins. We're the Lord's in heaven. Okay, he has his church here on earth, okay, and then he has his men to proclaim the word of God. It's up to us to read it and to figure it out, because we're going to get judged whether we read it or not or studied it or not. We're going to get judged out of those things. That's why the Bible tells us to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, because we're all going to get judged. And, you know, I've heard it before. Maybe you've heard it before. Well, if I don't read it, I'm not going to get judged over it. That's wrong. You're going to get judged. Whether you read it or not, he's going to judge. He's going to use his word, and he's going to do it righteously. And so keep reading here, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure the affliction, to do the work of an evangelist, make full the proof of thy ministry. This is the Spirit through Paul, verse 6. This is at the end of his life. For I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Again, in this passage we just read, at his appearing. That's when you and I that are saved will get judged. Realize that Paul had assurance that you look at Paul, you do a little study on Paul. He didn't live the greatest life on earth. You know, can you imagine being shipwrecked? I don't know how many times, getting bit by a snake, getting beaten. Again, but what did he do? He did it after salvation. He got saved on the road to Damascus. He had full surrender there. You read it in Acts, the 9th chapter. The Bible tells us in Psalms that he removes sin as far as the east is from the west. So once you get saved, God has a purpose. He has a plan for you to go to work for him. We read about Paul. He did that. And he devoted his entire life to the ministry of the Lord. And what was kept in store for him? Verse 8, henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness. And again, it's not just offered for him, because we kind of put Paul on this pedestal, like it's an he's an unachievable person. But again, Bible, you read about his life. And every time he got in trouble, what did he do? He rehearsed his life. He rehearsed about everything that God did for him. You read that in the very end of Acts. But again, he kept the faith. You and I need to keep the faith, because we realize that his appearing, it could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. When that happens, we're going to get judged. What's going to be laid in store for us? Because we have that same opportunity just as Paul. Jump over to Romans, the 2nd chapter. Romans, the 2nd chapter. I'm speaking to myself. When I say this, you know, we look at Paul and be like, well, yeah, that's all he did. He had an occupation. Yeah. He was a tent maker. You and I have occupations. Okay, but that's not, that shouldn't be the only thing that matters in this life. And too often it is for God's people. Our occupations are the things that matter. Not our occupation with the Lord. And again, we need to realize that. We need to come to grips with the reality that we're not on this earth for very much longer. Amen. And again, we're going to get judged. So Romans 2 and verse 16. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Oh, that's verse 1, sorry. I was like, that sounded good, but that wasn't it. Romans 2 and verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Who has secrets in here? Yeah. Who has secrets that they want everybody to know? Yeah. God knows. Right. And the secrets are going to come out one day. And so you and I can hide. We can hide in the pews. In Albany, we have chairs. We can hide, but you're not hiding with God. Right. And one day, it's all going to come out. It would be much better if it came out now when we're here on this earth than when it comes out on the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Because when it comes out on the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be loss of rewards. If we don't repent, if we don't turn from our wicked ways, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be loss of rewards. Again, speaking to myself too. Matthew, the 16th chapter. When Christ comes, there's going to be rewards. There's going to be those that are admiring and those that are glorifying. 2 Thessalonians tells us. Turn over to Matthew, the 16th chapter. It's up to you and I in this life where we're going to be with the Lord. Are we going to be glorifying him? He receives glory through his church. Are we just going to be on the outsides of the gates of that city and we're just going to be admiring? Matthew 16 and verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Again, we reap what we sow. So everything that we're sowing, if you don't like what you're reaping, we got to fix what we're sowing. And so again, verse 28, verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And so again, when he comes, he's going to bring his rewards. Jump over to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. He warns us how he's going to come. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. He comes quickly. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So however you are, whenever you either the rapture happens or you pass away from this life, however you are with the Lord, that's how you're going to be for all eternity. That's how you're going to stand in this judgment. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Again, I come quickly. Jump down to verse 20. I come quickly. What is he trying to stress here? He's coming. He's coming. Whether you like it or not, the Lord is coming back. Whether you think it's going to happen or not, the Lord is going to come back. And again, it's going to happen way sooner than we realize. You read Matthew, the 24th chapter. Wars, the rumors of wars. What are we in now? We just got ourselves in a war. And it's not just war there. It's wars everywhere. And it's chaos. And our government is an absolute chaos. And again, people don't want to hear the word of God anymore. But you go back to Genesis, the 6th chapter. The imaginations and thoughts are all evil continually. That's how the world is. That's how you and I are sometimes. And that's our imaginations and our thoughts. And again, it shouldn't be. However we are when he comes or we pass away, that's how we'll stand. Verse 13, for I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates and through the city. Again, there's a city waiting for those that have, again, just as Paul, they dedicated their life to the Lord. After salvation, they went to work for him. Jump over. Let's look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. I'm going to have to skip some of this. 1 Corinthians 4. In verse 1, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should judge of you or one man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, and I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Again, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring into light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Again, we're not to judge before the time. And so again, if you think you're, oh, I've just messed up, I've done too many bad things for the Lord, there's no way I'm going to be able to be in that city. Well, the Bible says judge nothing before the time. Bible tells us, we might read it in Philippians, says press toward the mark, forgetting those things that are behind, going, looking to Jesus. You don't know, we don't know when this or how we're going to be before the Lord. But again, we can kind of get an idea where we are with the Lord right now. Because you look at Paul, he knew what was waiting. So to say that you're going to be in the bride or not, we don't know, but we got to keep going. We got to keep going for the Lord. And so again, verse 2, moreover, is required. Is there requirements for the Lord, for you and I with the Lord? There's requirements to be a church member. There's some requirements after being a church member. Well, what he wants us to do, what he requires. He wants us to be a good steward. And so, again, we got to ask, are we doing those things? Jump over to 1 John, the 4th chapter. In the time of judgment, we can have boldness. You and I that are saved, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you've submitted yourself to scriptural baptism. You joined the Lord's New Testament church. You're faithfully serving him in that church. If you're doing those things, we too can have confidence in the day of judgment. I tell you, 1 John, the 4th chapter, in verse 16, we have known and believed the love of God hath to us, that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is so are we in this world. Again, we can have confidence. We can have boldness standing before our Lord. Jump over to Revelation. Revelation, the 20th chapter. We're going to read about the great white throne judgment. And the great white throne judgment is for those that are lost and those that have rejected the gospel. And actually, before we go to Revelation, we're going to go to, let's go to 2 Thessalonians real quick. And then we'll hit Revelation. 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, verse 8. So the night I got saved, the preacher read this verse. This verse did not save me. But this verse showed me, this again, the scripture showed me that I was going to be held accountable to God. And this God, he's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. Again, this world, it gets it so twisted. They think that God is just this lovey-dovey God. And he can be that. And he is. But he's also this God of wrath that we're going to read about in verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Realize that God, you reject God, lost friend. You reject his son. You reject the words that he's given. Again, that gospel message, you reject that, then one day he's going to pour out all of his vengeance. And he's going to cast you into, again, we're going to read about in this lake of fire. Jump over to Revelation 20. This judgment you don't want to be at. This judgment, it's scary. I don't even like reading it, because realize God's wrath. And we might read a little bit more about that in just a second. Revelation 20 and verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So who's here is Satan. Satan and all of those fallen angels that went with Satan, and the beast and the false prophet that we read about in the tribulation, they're here at this judgment. This is not a good place. Verse 11, and I saw the great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there's found no room for them, no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book which was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, when you're at this judgment, you cannot get out. Your fate is sealed. You will go to this horrible place. This is where hell gets cast into the lake of fire. This is where degrees of punishment come when you reject that gospel message. We read about it in Matthew. Of those, he told his disciples, go in and dust off, you know, if they don't hear you, dust off your feet. It's going to be more, hell will be more tolerable for those of Sodom and Gomorrah than those that rejected the gospel. And so again, when that gospel message goes forth and you reject, again, he gives you opportunities. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he's not going to be doing that for very much longer. Realize that this life, the rapture might happen. If the rapture happens tonight, there's going to be chaos. There's going to be all those that are saved. They're going to be up in the air. And then there's going to be those that are lost that remain. There's nobody else that's saved at that time. At the rapture happens, all the saved are off the earth and this is lost. And there's going to be a lot of people dying. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be cars crashing into people. That might be your judgment. That might be your fate is sealed. And then you're going to get cast into hell. And then one day, it's after 7 years, then you're going to get cast into, it's going to be a little bit longer than 7 years. It's over 1,000 in 7 years. And you're going to get cast into this lake of fire. And so, again, this is not a place that you want to be. God's done everything so that you don't have to be at this judgment. And just real quick, as our song leader, piano player come, you know, we always read about God being the God of love, and God, Jesus being this lovey-dovey God, and he is. This is how he is on the tribulation. This is him at the battle of Armageddon. We're going to read in verse 6, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he saith unto me, see that thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren. And they that have the testimony of Jesus worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful, True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and he had on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And so this is Jesus. This is him coming with vengeance. And this is at the battle of Armageddon, verse 16. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is when he comes as a king. This is you don't want to face this king. You don't want to face this judge. And so again, tonight it's offered. We're gonna have an invitation. The invitation is designed for those for everybody to go to the Lord in prayer. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have an opportunity right now. What number shall we sing? How does he stand? 102. Romans, the 10th chapter. You don't know how to be saved? It's not with your mouth. It's with your heart. Verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't wait, lost friend. Don't wait until you're standing at that great white throne judgment because it's too late. You don't know when that will be. I don't know when that will be. We do know the words that we will get judged. And we're going to get judged according to our works.
Coming by. could happen in
time for any of us. Thank you for your time and your attention. Is there any word of announcement that needs to be made at this time? If all hearts and minds are clear, let's see. Brother Tim, will you conclude services?